radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. Then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Thank you. Faces, Professor Griff. You're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. We started off the program with a message in the music from Steve Cobb and Chuvandika entitled, Let's Get Together, It's Kwanzaa Time, as we remind our listeners of the holiday season and the importance of celebrating Kwanzaa 24/7, 365. And to that end, we have a program. We were out and about, and we attended the Buy Black Marketplace in Philadelphia just recently, December 21st and 22nd, and we have some of the participants. It is a venue designed to match and bring together black artisans, craftsperson, fashion designers, black doll makers, black home products and furnishings, decor, craftspersons and artists who don't have access to the mainstream retail outlets, and it was held at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, and we'll speak to the co-producers of that event as well as some of the participants following these messages. So don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Junius Ricardo Stanton here with some truly great news. The Blake Radio Network has officially released the new Rainbow Soul iPhone and Android apps worldwide. Now there is also an HTML version for all other cell phones. The apps can be accessed from www.blakeradio.com on the Rainbow Soul page or directly from the iPhone App Store or Android Market. These apps will allow you to lock in exclusively to the Rainbow Soul broadcast with the touch of a button. These acquisitions complete the development and release of all the apps for the Blake Radio Network family of channels, which includes Rainbow Soul, the All Talk channel, and Music Massage, an eclectic mix of R&B, jazz, soul, and reggae slow jams for your listening edification and entertainment. So take full advantage of this opportunity for connectivity and mobility by downloading your respective app from your source. Continue listening to the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul and Music Massage.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
All right, we're speaking with Everett Stanton, who is an event planner, an entrepreneur, a promoter of Africana tea, and a all-around good brother. And we're here at the 2013 Buy Black, Recycle Black Dollars event at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Welcome, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Junius. Thanks for stopping by, and thanks for those kind words. And we're here with the 2013 Buy Black Marketplace, and got a great day. The weather's great.
Yeah.
You know, and
awesome.
we're very encouraged about the people that have been coming out there making conscious efforts to share and you support black businesses, you know. And as you know, the criteria for being a part of this event is you have to be a designer or an artist or a craftsperson. You know, this is things that people have made by hand. So we're really thrilled that the folks have come. That, you know, they're here. There's no entertainment here. This is strictly shopping, and it's shopping by people who are displaying the African-American creativity.
And also, you should, you're being modest. The artisans, the craft people, and the designers are top flight. I mean, you're getting quality material here, quality products. This is not like some cheesy kind of stuff here.
Well, you're right. And we're blessed because, you know, the folks that we have, most of these folks are home-based businesses that don't have a brick-and-mortar location, so it's hard for them to get that exposure, you know, the street traffic walking by and everything like that. So, you know, these are people that we've been able to identify through the years that have these different abilities, these different skills, and just produce some lovely things, jewelry, home decor, scarves, bracelets, books, you know, journals, ledgers, you know, it's a lot of different things that we have here. Games, you know, and I mean, the sister actually designed this board game and is selling and marketing. You know, how the producer is marketing this game. So, you know, I'm very happy with the quality of the folks that we do have.
What prompted you to do this? Because you go way back, you used to do the Black Expos, you used to do the anything that promoted blackness, black businesses, you did it, but you also were one of the people who understood you had to have a hook and you had to, usually you brought in entertainment. So this time you don't have entertainment and the focus is purely on craftsmanship and, you know, making the community aware of what's happening. So what was the thinking behind that?
Well, what actually, with Black Expo, you say, which was during our time was the biggest
pinnacle.
The biggest event,
yeah.
You know, in black, in the history of black events, at that particular time, we had entertainment. First off, it was a paid event to come in, but it was designed as an economic development event. But to get people to come in, back to, we're talking about, what, 1989? You had to have a hook, so to speak, to get people there. So we had created an arrangement, a relationship with record labels, and they would provide entertainment there, and that would get people there. And it worked well to get people there, but what I found personally was that it turned into being too entertainment driven and had lost the emphasis.
Well, you're
on
the
economic
emphasis that you wanted.
That I wanted, right. So it wound up really just being somewhat of a concert, okay, with a flea market, okay, because the criteria as far as who could participate as an exhibitor was just disregarded. We had, like, you and I could go up to New York and buy
a bunch of
stuff from, you know, from Asia and come down here and make it. Now, believe me, I am not against entrepreneurship. I think we all should think about that. As a matter of fact, that's the passport to economic independence, I believe, is African American entrepreneurship. But our thing had just went that way, you know. So I decided that I was going to, you know, break off from the group and just try and do something that was specifically for the guys that use their hands, the craftspeople, because they cannot compete with the folks that we just talked about that would go up to New York and buy, you know, mass
or the
product,
big box
right?
Stores,
the big box,
the
store, exactly. They can't compete with them because they don't have, that luxury. So I wanted to do something that helped them, and so this, you know, I just said, well, if we're going to do that, let's just make it strictly no entertainment. So anybody that's coming here is not treating the exhibitors like you would a concession stand at a basketball game. When it's time out, that's when you go run up and get a pretzel or something like that. That's what was happening with the other event. People would walk past the exhibitors too,
only when the act wasn't only when the act wasn't playing. Right. So therefore, that, you know, I said, well, we're just gonna make this strictly for people who want to come and shop and want to be a part of, you know, of the economic development initiative.
But you've always been about educating and empowering the community, because you always had, at least as it evolved, you would have the authors, and it wasn't just the ghetto literature. It was about serious matters. And so you have authors here today, so you've kept that aspect of it.
Because I just think it was important. You know, like we're such a diverse race with, you know, group of people inside our race, you know, and I just felt that there wasn't an event that designed for folks who didn't want to deal with street lit, you know, who wanted, you know, to come out with their family. You know what my barometer is that when I do an event, I want to feel as though when people leave the event, they leave at least, you know, an iota more enlightened than when they came in. Otherwise than that, we're kind of just wasting time or whatever. Right. You know, we're on the treadmill walking in the same steps, you know. And so that was what was important to me. And while it's been a struggle, and by no means is it the popular thing as far as numbers are concerned, you know, the experience has been so fulfilling to me, because the feedback that you get from the people that attend, they let you know. When we have the Black Inventors Museum at the Black History Showcase, and people come in and learn about all the different things that Black people invented that they didn't know about before, you know, I said, that's the kind of thing that makes you, you know that it was worthwhile for me to come to this event, because I learned something. And, you know, it's important. I don't care what age you are, we should always try to learn one thing every day. You know what I'm saying? And we can come out, you know, and so we got so many people that are doing and what maybe call meaningless things, you know. And it's time to take care of business.
They reward that. It seems like they reward the trivialities, the banalities, and then, you know, just the nonsense.
And what it does is it breeds a group of people who they say, I can do nothing and be great.
Hopeless, you know what I mean?
That's just not something I wanted to do. You know, like I said, I always felt better knowing that, like I said, the group of people that came left there, you know, very enlightened. Just like in the same situation with the exhibitors here. You know, we want the exhibitors to make money. You know, like this is, you know, even though, like I said, we tell folks sometimes, you know, it's not how much money you make, it's about how many contacts.
Right.
You know, you make, you know, because some people may not.
Foundation for future sales.
Exactly. And that's the way you have to look at it, you know. So that's basically, you know, my stance, you know, when it comes to the type of events that I produce.
Mm. Now, speaking of events, do you have a website so people can see what you do?
No, I don't have a website.
No.
You know, for the Black History Showcase, you know, the Black History, blackhistoryshowcase.org is called.
www.blackhistoryshowcase.org. But go ahead. When is that going to be?
That'll be, next year we'll be celebrating 10 years, and it'll be August 19th and 20th in Philadelphia. And we're looking, we're trying to finalize a date in Atlanta for February 15th and 16th. But right now, there's a few other things we got to nail down. But August 19th and 20th will be the 10th anniversary in Philadelphia.
Okay. All right. So you've gotten away, you've gotten away from the big events. You were doing multi-city events at one time. Mm-hmm. So are you going back to that again?
Well, not like we did before. We were doing 18 cities a year, and I don't want to do that pace. If I do, it'll be a regional situation. It'll be Philadelphia, you know, like Atlanta, you know, Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do Midwest. You know, East Coast, Southeast, and then maybe West Coast like that. Because I wouldn't want to do that.
You were going all the time,
right? We were there for 18 cities, and each city that you did a show in, you had to go there 3 months before to do a press conference or you know, I mean, whatever. So that's 36 weekends out of a year that you've been traveling on the road. So I don't want to do it on that pace. So the plan is to do things that are regional.
and draw people, you know, from that region. Mm-hmm. Like Philadelphia is located between Philadelphia and New York,
D.C.,
D.C., right. You know what I mean, you know, Maryland, you know, mm-hmm. So we can draw people to Philadelphia, you know, or, you know, just a matter of getting the word out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And speaking of getting the word out, mm-hmm. what are the ways, because you were in production, you were in, had to be part of Emerge magazine way back in the day, you're an astute user of the media, so what did, just share with our folks how you promote this.
Well,
the mindset behind it, because it's only going to be a certain mindset of people who come to this.
Well, the first thing you do is you try and create media partners. It depends on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, is it something that's educational? You know, you got to look at one group of media that embrace education. Mm-hmm. If it's something that's dealing with entertainment, then you got another,
different group of media that's dealing with
entertainment. So I established relationships with the media based upon what the event is. When we did the Westlake Lane Jazz Festival, it was definitely an entertainment-driven event. So we dealt with the media the music magazines,
right,
and the lifestyle magazine, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Well, you plus know, you had radio,
right,
all
right,
the radio
right,
stations.
Right. And we also, of course, you know, with social media, you know, we use social media, mm-hmm. Where possible. You know, we don't use it as well as we should now, you mm-hmm. know, but we are definitely embracing that more. But the important thing is to identify who you want to what publication, like if it's a business event, you know, you look at Black Enterprise or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So what people specialize with,
yeah, whatever their niche is,
whatever their niche is, right? That's who you connect with. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with the radio station, you know, the same situation. You got all news stations, you know, you got country and western, you know, mm-hmm. you got jazz, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say country and western, mm-hmm. but you got jazz, you know, you got R&B, you know, so it depends upon, you know, you got gospel,
right.
you know,
right.
so that's who you identify the folks.
Mm-hmm.
You
know. Okay.
Stop a minute.
Mm-hmm. While Everett goes and takes care of some business, we have the pleasure of interviewing Barbara Daniel Cox, who is the premier event planner, major event planner, because anybody can be an event planner, anybody can plan a party, but she's the premier event planner in this tri-state region, and so I have her here, and she's partnering with Everett in this, so number one, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much, and thank you for those kind, generous words.
Now, what's the truth?
Well, I appreciate it. I think I have done my share, but there are a lot of other event planners out here doing
well,
good jobs.
Well, when people want something quality done, they turn to you, and unfortunately, you flag me. You won't work for me anymore. So.
Well, you know, I still love you, but I'm getting seasoned, and I need to take care of myself.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So tell us about this event, and it's different, it's special, because like I was telling Everett, it seemed like only a certain people with a certain consciousness would come to something like this, mm-hmm. as opposed to going to, you know, standing in Walmart fighting mm-hmm. over mm-hmm. the junk and stuff that's in there. So the premise behind this, from your perspective, because we got to have balance, we heard the male perspective, the female perspective.
Well, I don't know how I didn't listen to his interview, so I'm not sure it will be that much different. But one of the things, from my perspective, that African Americans tend to say, we don't know where to find black businesses. We don't know where to find a black plumber, a black this or black that. And they also definitely don't know where to find specialty items.
Mm-hmm.
So this event is unique because everything here is handcrafted by the people who you are meeting, talking to, seeing, experiencing, and you can develop an ongoing relationship with them. The other thing is that we need to provide the alternative to us, because we go to the department stores to shop because that's all we know. So this is an alternative. And also, I think it's to help keep people honest. because we talk about being black and buying black and supporting black, and we tend to spend 10% out of a dollar with black folks. Here we really want to give you the opportunity to spend 100% of your dollar with black folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well, that's a different perspective, different history on it.
Mm-hmm.
What's next for you?
Well, before you do that, one of the next things for me was we produced a Buy Black 365 directory,
mm-hmm.
which is a handbook that shows you how to connect with black attorneys, black craftspeople, black physicians, black accountants, black plumbers, black everything. So we're also trying to reinforce that not only do you do this at whatever time
right.
we do this event or other special events of this nature, but you can do it 365 days. You might work a little harder to find it. You might work a little, drive a little longer to get to mm-hmm. it or take a little bus, but pick up the phone, go on the internet, and you can find some African-American who's doing almost anything that you want to do.
Now, is this the tri-state area or just strictly Philadelphia?
It's Philadelphia. Got a few, well, I was a little selfish. Some Jersey and Delaware people that I happen to know, they're in there because we didn't get a lot of advertising this first time out to really pay for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do it again, it'll be fuller. We have more time to develop it. So this is something that people can take with them, that they have 365 days a year with no excuse for not buying black.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's new for me? What I'm working on, I have the opportunity to work on a project with the Mann Center for the Performing Arts. They're doing a seven-month celebration of the legacy of Ovie Caddo, who is a former
people
principal
from
at Cheney University.
Aren't from this area, and this is worldwide, so a lot of folks may not be familiar with Ovie Octavius Caddo. So give us a little background on him.
Well, he is a former principal of Cheney University, a student of Cheney University. He founded a baseball team in the Negro League.
Yeah, this was in the 19th century.
Yes, right, yes. Yeah. He was an advocate for African Americans voting, and in fact, he was killed by an Irishman in an effort to get black people to vote. And he was an educator, an activist, a philanthropist. So this is a new thing for the Mann Center to be celebrating African Americans. So there are a series of events scheduled, and I have the blessing that I know Rhoda Blount, who is the vice president at the Mann Center, who invited me in to work on the project. The other thing I'm working on is a piece.
Now, when does that begin?
It begins in February. We're having a revival at Mother Bethel with three other churches involved. We're doing a luncheon honoring eight African-American women from the city of Philadelphia. And the event is, the series is closing out with a concert at the Mann featuring Marvin Sapp and a 300-member choir with the Philadelphia Orchestra. I'm also working with Bob Lott on a documentary on the life of Dr. Edward Robinson, who made transition at the ripe age of 94. And I'm honored to do that because I've known him and been a part of his family for many, many years. And the other thing I'm doing is volunteering for Delta Sigma Theta and Cheney University.
Yeah.
Those
That's
are my
a full
two loves.
Load right
yes,
there.
Yes. yes.
Okay. If someone wanted to replicate what you're doing with the Buy Black 365, how could they contact you to get some ideas how to do it?
I'll give you my phone number, 215-843-2027.
Okay.
215-843-2027.
Okay. All right. I guess Everett is still dealing with...
He just walked in.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's I was holding up her business, so I had to get out of there. All right, the other half is back, and he had to take care of some business. So we were talking about the history showcase in Philadelphia in August, possibly in Atlanta in February.
In April. The Black History and Culture Showcase will be in Philadelphia in April.
Okay.
April 19th.
My mistake. Okay.
That's all right. April 19th and 20th, and possibly in Atlanta February 15th and 16th.
Okay.
But it'll be on our website, www.blackhistoryshowcase.org.
Okay. Now, what else can we look forward to from Everett Stat? Because you cannot sit still, and so I know you can't. I know you're not doing the West Oak Lane Jazz and Cultural Festival anymore, so what else are you doing?
Well, I'm just going to stick tight with the Black History and Culture Showcase and the Buy Black, because I'm at the point now where, you know, less is better.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, and I just want to work on it. I think that, you know, the important thing is the Black History and Culture Showcase, and then as well as this Buy Black Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important, and so I'm not looking to take on or create any other projects. Now, if the Jazz Festival came back, I would be glad to work with the Jazz Festival, because that was near and dear to my heart. But for right now, I'm not taking on any new or coming up producing any more events, any new events.
Can you give us some hints about some of the new exhibits that will be at the Black History Showcase?
Well, this is next year, the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act, and so we're going to have a Civil Rights exhibit, and it's also the 50th anniversary of Muhammad Ali, who was then Cassius Clay, winning the title, so we're going to have an exhibit about that. And there are a couple other things that I cannot mention, but we're going to have a special guest speaker. Someone who is just received the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award.
Okay.
So we'll have we're really looking forward to that.
Okay. All right. How can people contact you for information about if they wanted to participate in the history showcase, if they had something to offer, something serious to offer?
You can email me. You can email me at evstaten@aol.com.
Okay.
That's evstaten@aol.com.
All right, brother. Thank you, guys. The people waiting to talk to you, so I guess I'm feeling a privilege that you gave me some time. Talk to you later.
Thank you, John.
Okay, man.
Okay.
All right. We're speaking with Cheryl Lee Ralph, who is an actress, and she is an activist, and she has the best interests of our people at heart and everything that she does. And this is your second book?
Second
book. Okay.
Actually,
and she's going to talk about Redefining Diva, Life Lessons from the Original Dream Girl. Welcome to our program.
Thank you. Good to be here with you. And I want to encourage all writers. You know, when I did my first book, I self-published my first book. And everybody was like, don't self-publish, don't do this. I didn't listen to them. I self-published my first book. I sold 2,000 copies of my first book, self-published, which is how I got this second deal with Simon & Schuster for my second book. The first book was What a Delta Diva Knows.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to once again remind you that State Representative Dwight Evans will...
You have a great place to edit now.
Yeah.
So the second book now came as a result of the first book.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a multi-deal contract?
No, I got one deal, which was fine. Because for me, it's been working. You know, we keep selling books every time I do a speaking engagement. So it's been something that works for me, and I enjoy it. And this second book is called Redefining Diva, Life Lessons from the Original Dream Girl. That would be me, Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Now, did you focus in this particular book on just that segment of your career from the beginning, from starting with Dream Girls on through that, or is it a combination of it?
Basically, it's a combination. It's a representation of how I live my life, how I was taught to live my life from my parents, my grandparents, and my grandparents' people, how it all came together to create the woman that I'm still becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that everybody's got a bit of diva in them, the divinely inspired, victoriously awesome person, aware person, audacious person, you know. We've all got a bit in that of us, and I wanted to create ways to help people bring it out, bring your best out.
Mm-hmm.
And I made different sort of representations in my life. I realized that, you know what, number one thing most unhappy people are very, very good at is making everybody else unhappy.
True.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you've got to find your joy. And when you find your joy, you've got to respect your joy, hold your joy up, take care of your joy. Because that's part of what helps make you you.
Mm-hmm.
It's what helps you get through those bad times in life. And there will be those bad times in life. And you got to get prayed up, joyed up, happied up, lived life well up. you know, to get yourself through those times. And that's part of what we talk about in the book.
Well, it seems like you've developed another career. You could be what they call a motivational speaker or a life coach.
They say that all the time.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the direction that you're going. I mean, if you can find the time between acting and your activism.
Yeah, plus I don't know if it pays as well as showbiz. You know, I get life dividends from the joy that you're able to bring other people, but I got kids I got to put through college.
Okay, all right. So you're doing a podcast, or you're doing a...
I have a show that airs on WXRP. WXRP, you can find it on the internet, as well as on Saturdays, 1 hour on WKND, which airs in Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut, every Saturday morning for 1 hour, starting at 11 o'clock. And I love it, and I thank all of my listeners. I ask people to continue to follow me on Twitter. I am the, T-H-E, Cheryl with an S, Ralph, the Cheryl Ralph. I love my tweets. I'm on Facebook, Cheryl Lee Ralph, Cheryl with an S, on Facebook. And
do you have a website?
CherylLeeRalph.com.
Okay.
You can visit CherylLeeRalph.com.
Now, can
and I have a new line.
The books on...
You can purchase the book on Amazon.com, Hugh Mann Bookstore, H-U-E-M-A-N, The Color Man Bookstore, Hugh Mann Bookstore.
That's the one in New York? I thought
yes.
They went out of business. They're doing online
they're
now.
Out of the brick and mortar,
right,
but they're
okay,
online
right,
now.
Okay.
Marva Allen, that you can't keep a good woman down. Let's see, where else can you get the book? Barnes & Noble, of course. But, you know, Amazon, when you buy, they'll get it to you right away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how do you find time to write, to do what you do with HIV/AIDS, do what you do with the women, and still have be a mother, still be a wife, and have an active career?
As I write in my book, my father always told me, there is always time for what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
My family is extremely important to me. My community is extremely important for me. And to see those things and people move forward is extremely important to me. And that's why I find the time to do what I do.
Mm-hmm. Now share some of your background, because I heard you speak several times. And you have a Caribbean background.
Big up Jamaica.
Yeah, okay.
I cannot help it. My mother is, as you find out in the book, is a daughter of the Jamaican soil, a real strong Caribbean woman, you know, and a great force in my life, and I thank God she's still alive.
Okay, all right, okay. Now, that upbringing, that cultural reinforcement,
yes.
How did that help you as you entered into what I consider one probably... I'm an outsider, but just looking at the entertainment business can be kind of ruthless. So how did that
definitely
help you?
Definitely a ruthless business. But I tell you, how it helped me was when I was in Jamaica growing up, I saw the doctor, the lawyer, the person who ran the country. They all looked like me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when I would come back to the States and they would say certain things like, you can't do this, you can't do that, or consider doing something else, I was like, I've already seen it being done.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we can do this. You know, the people that ran the advertising agencies and such, they look like us. You know, so I saw myself in the ad, so I knew I could do it because
mm-hmm.
I'd already seen it being mm-hmm. done. And that had a major impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
I would, for me, as I write in the book, no doesn't have to be my no.
Right.
That's
right.
Somebody else's
right.
no.
Right.
You know? I create my affirmation, my positive every day, because I've already seen it been done, seen it being done by us, and very well too.
Mm. So how have you been able to stay grounded? Because that business, when you're at the heights that you attain on Broadway and in the film and all that, you can really lose yourself if you listen to your publicist and the PR people. You seem to be, you know, extremely grounded.
You like I write in my book, fame doesn't turn people into bad people. Fame doesn't turn people into egomaniacs. Fame frees them to be who they really are.
Mm, okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
All I can be is myself.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
And as like I said in my book, I had incredible mentors. incredible people poured into me to help make me the woman I'm still becoming.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you, is this the message that you impart to the women that you deal with? Because a lot of the ones
I deal with men and women.
Well, but I'm just saying that.
Diva is an equal opportunity acronym.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
There's a little
bit
of Diva in all of us.
All right,
thank you.
Okay.
The divinely inspired, victoriously awesome people are not just females.
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. But I mean, a lot of your work was with the HIV and AIDS community.
Yes.
And
still is. Still,
okay.
Still
so.
Committed to that. Because, you know, AIDS, HIV grows in silence. People don't want to talk about sex. They don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about it.
I
they
call
don't
it
wanna...
the schizophrenic culture
exactly.
that we have.
Exactly. And we can do better. You've got to do better. And if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your children. Have a responsible conversation with your children to keep them safe. Help them make better, more informed decisions for themselves. Now, they're still going to make mistakes. You can talk to your blue in your face, and you know kids will still make mistakes. But we've got to start facing this, because this disease should not be growing the way it is.
What's
Excuse me, one second. How may I help you?
All right, contact for your work for HIV and AIDS, your organization.
Okay, if people want to contact us, we are The Diva Foundation, thedivafoundation.org. You can follow me on Twitter at The Cheryl with an S Ralph, The Cheryl Ralph, and I'm on Facebook at CherylLeeRalph.com.
I heard someone mention that you had a new television program.
I have a new television program called Instant Mom, Sundays 8:30 on Nickelodeon. Some of the best TV you'll watch.
Okay.
Myself and Tia Mowry. It's the kind of show you're going to fall in love with.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good
Thank
luck with
you.
Your book. Okay.
Thanks right. very okay. much.
Hey, good morning. Man, I'm really fortunate and blessed to have Bob Lott, who is a premier videographer, filmmaker, TV producer. He's done nationwide syndicated TV shows. He's done local television. He's done films. And I just want him to say hello, and because he's kind of shy. He doesn't want to. He always plays stuff close to the vest. So I just want him to say hello and talk about something that's near and dear to his heart, which is the Dr. Robinson documentary. Come on, man.
Yes, we're all working on the Dr. Robinson documentary. He's been my mentor and my father figure for like 25 years. And fortunately, I was there when he took his last breath even. But what I've learned from him in 25 years, I couldn't pay anybody to teach me. He's one of the most incredible human beings that any of our black people would like to know.
Now, let me quiz it. How are you, all this footage that you have of him and what he's been involved in, how are you going to pare it down to like a two and a half hour documentary?
Well, that's been a challenge because I've got now two writers working on putting it together like that. But the actual first piece is only going to be a 1 hour documentary for Philadelphia Television.
Oh, okay.
So, in essence, even though it's called 1 hour, it's only going to be 45 minutes because they have to have commercials.
Yeah, commercials.
After that, we're going to do a national 90-minute version of Dr. Robinson and his mission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a he's bigger than Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't envy you trying to put all his life work in 90 minutes, man.
I've been fortunate to have been around him for the last 25 years, and I've got footage incredible. So besides the TV show that we're going to produce in the film, then we're going to produce some teaching tools.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask you about the African Genesis because you are a key component of that. So now that he's made transition and Ali and Helen are holding up the fort, where's that going? What are you doing with that?
Very interesting because having been involved with Ali and Helen in the Dessert Club for the last 12 years now, one of the trips that we took, or actually two of the trips we took, were with Egypt and Ghana. Mm-hmm. Consequently, what I did was I actually now produced two documentaries, one on Egypt and one on Ghana. The Ghana piece being more fulfilled than the Egypt piece. And I entered it in one of the festivals in Texas, won first place.
No kidding. Congratulations.
And secondly, now it's going to be shown at the San Diego Black Film Festival at the end of January. And Ali, Helen, Jackie, and myself, we're all going out to see them.
Now, will this be available to the public?
At some point it will be, but we're going to go through the festival circuit first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're actually going to talk to one of the TV stations, like a TV One or
Aspire TV. Or Aspire or somebody like that.
See if one of those would accept it. But at some point, by the end of next year, it will be available for the public to have.
Okay. Now, some of the African Genesis material, how can people get that? Can they go on a Dessert Club or website? Because that's some of the great, I mean, you're there in the Nile Valley. You have trained eye, and you had Bernoka Rashidi. I mean, you name it. We had people, Wayne Chandler, all of them. So how can people get those?
That's a good question. Bernoka Rashidi, I've taped him in several different situations in Egypt, in Ghana, in Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he sells DVDs of all of those
right.
trips that he's
so
taken.
The African Genesis doesn't have rights to those?
Well,
what you did?
They haven't really taken advantage of that to sell products like that.
Okay.
But they don't even sell their own products. So.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this?
On the radio, internet.
Well,
I mean, for what you do, to have that type of material laid up in a warehouse somewhere, that's a travesty.
Well, that's true. And believe it or not, Ali and I are now talking about producing a series.
Right. You should. You should.
A series. And which would include Egypt, would include Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to Paris, Black Paris. We've been to Brazil. So we're actually talking right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm. But you also documented and chronicled their training program.
Yes.
You took them to Virginia. You took them to Canada and the trips to Africa. People should have access to that.
I don't have the...
I know. You don't have the final say in all that. But I'm saying that in the information age, it's a crime to have that information sitting in your studio somewhere.
I agree. And I think in the next couple of years, my personal plan, is to bring a lot of that footage out and share it with the black people from one to this country to the other.
Mm-hmm.
It is important. Dr. Robinson really charged me with a mission to continue his mission and to teach our people, particularly our young people, as much as we possibly can about where they came from and who they are.
Right.
So in the next few years, yes, I'm going to be producing a series of products of all kinds that hopefully can be utilized in all of our educational systems across the country to teach our black people who they are.
All right, now, before I let you go, how can people get in contact? I know you're busy. I know you don't have time for proposals and a whole lot of trivialities, but if someone wanted a crack videographer, crack filmmaker, crack cameraman, producer, and what I call guerrilla marketing, guerrilla documentaries, how could they get in contact with you? Now, the reason I say guerrilla is because you don't put a whole lot of yeast in your bill. You'll do stuff, at least the things I've been involved with, they're bare bones or almost at a loss for you, just truth be told. But so how can people get in contact with you?
Probably the best way is through email, and I'll give you my email address from the company. The company is called Teamwork Productions, Inc. The email address is teamworkvideo@aol.com.
Okay.
That's the best way.
Okay. All right. Now, and all this, I didn't talk about all the stuff you did with Kenny Gamble and all that kind of, but I'll let you go. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I got a music library for 30 years, by the way.
Wow.
Doug Henderson had a TV show 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but one of my classmates, Gavin, was part of that.
Well, Gavin's still writing for me right now.
He
lives in Florida. He's writing the script for Dr. Robinson right now.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
I didn't know you were a classmate.
Yeah, we went to Germantown together.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, he lives in Florida, and we're still. In the 30 years we've been together working.
Because I remember that show.
Our TV show,
yeah.
Gavin and Elijah,
which
was in 55 cities across the country.
Yeah.
You know, that was pioneering.
In fact, that was way before MTV. That was way before...
Well, not quite. You need to understand the truth of the matter. MTV had come out. But MTV, you got to understand about music videos. The American record companies were not producing music videos.
Right, okay.
They were being produced from England and Germany. Basically, 90% rock acts.
Mm-hmm.
some pop acts, extremely little R&B.
Right, right.
And a guy discovered these things, came over here in 1980, created MTV. Bob Johnson came back a year later and started to try to produce BET using music videos. Both of those were on tape. I was trying to sell the record companies to produce more black
yours
videos.
Yours is over the air, though. Yours is,
that's my point. Right, right. You know, I was up in New York, met with all the presidents of all the companies about producing more black music videos. They said, well, Mr. Locke, where are you going to see them? I said, you got BET. He said, where do you live? I said, in Philadelphia. You got cable? I said, no. Well, how are you going to watch your own videos? Good question with no answer. We produced the Gavin and Locke show, records and television, so people in major cities who don't have cable could see these music videos.
Right. And that started, I remember,
started a whole revolution.
Yeah. It did. I remember one station was on here in Philly. It was like Saturday night. It came on, I think, on Saturday night. I think it was 29, I think, back then.
The thing is, and this is quiet as a kept, and I'm not sure how much you're just going to use, but we produced the Gavin and Locke show. I was up in New York with the program director trying to convince him to take our show.
Mm-hmm.
He liked the look of it. He liked the feel of it. And he said that he's going to talk to the corporate office about producing your program. 3-4 months later, whatever it was, he was the producer of Friday Night Videos on Channel.
He took your idea. Wow.
And, by the way, no station would take the Gavin and Locke show. We were in New York, L.A., all over the place, but no Philly station took it until Friday Night Videos came on and Channel 10 says, remember that show you brought to us a few months ago? Now we want it. We put it on opposite Friday Night Videos and we beat them rating-wise.
Okay, right. Yeah, because you had local people. I mean, Doug was doing it. Yeah, yeah.
No, this is the Gavin and Locke show. People didn't even know Gavin and Locke were in Philadelphia.
Really?
No.
Okay. All right. But now, so the show you did with Doug was later?
That was right behind the Gavin and Locke show.
Okay, all right.
It's called City Sound. As a matter of fact, I saw Doug last night. And I told him, I just pulled his shows out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give him some copies of it.
Wow.
He wants to put them on Facebook, on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you'll be
That'd be good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. Okay. Give us the email address again and we'll let you go. Then let me take a picture of you and I'll let you go.
Teamworkvideo@AOL.com.
All right, man. Thank you.
We're speaking with Farmer Scott, who is a clothing designer, crafts person, and we're all around the Delaware Valley. And I just want to give our viewers a sample of what he does. Outstanding. Truly fantastic. Where we are. So welcome to our program. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Absolutely fabulous.
How'd you get started doing this?
Actually, I come from a family of 11 children. I am the middle child, 5 above me, 5 below me. I got the hand-me-downs from a sister. So one day I saw her on the sewing machine, and I begged her to just simply teach me, show me how to operate the sewing machine. And that's when I was about 11 years old. I really started sewing at 12. Today I'm standing at 57, so over time, practice has made perfect.
Now, in addition to starting as an adolescent, did you pursue school?
Well, the beauty in all of this that you see and all that I've, this God-given talent, I've not had any training. These are all gifts from the Almighty Divine God, and I'm just so grateful to say that I've had no training.
What are the total number of mediums that you work in? I mean, clothing, dental, white cloth?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I work with everything. But what I specialize in is the African textiles. What you see here is the African mud cloth. Okay, and I take those textiles with authentic beads, cowrie shell, and I accentuate them. My business, we design garbs for individuals, groups, and organizations. And we also do interior decorating for homes, businesses, and offices. And basically what we do is we teach you how to work these Afrocentric products already into your Eurocentric, Eurocentric furnishings.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do
day four, you do a mass?
Well, actually, the mass are coming from the various countries out of Africa. In 2002 through 2008, I was the proprietor of Tajbu Gallery, which is located in Trenton. I did a five-year plan there. We had a wonderful art gallery with a host of art coming from the various countries out of Africa. We served as an advocate for the mask and things, and we wouldn't sell you anything until we gave you the origins, the tribe, and the symbolism behind all of the art. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The jewelry, well, the three you see here are all hand-beaded and designed by me. These that you see here in the horn, those are coming from my mother's native country, which is the Philippines. So technically what you see here is this may be a little blend of both of my efforts.
Now, do you have a website?
No, we do not. We have a host of clients, and believe me, we're looking forward. That's why we're having people sign our guest book. We're looking forward to go online, and I'm really praying that, you know, things will really kind of flesh out and work well. I kind of not want it to, because it seems like the business that I'm in, it's gone from one person to the next person to the next person. So that's what's been keeping me busy all these years.
I was going to ask you, how do you market yourself other than word of mouth?
Well, I do the venues, and once you do one interior job and someone looks at their home, then someone goes into that home, and it's just a chain reaction, basically.
So you actually, for your clients, you go in and actually
I do a one-on-one by appointment only,
okay.
And I go into the home, and we talk about what it is that you would like us to do, with, you know, for your home. And, of course, we give you all of our feedback in terms of what you have and how we see it as well, trying to give you a basically building a vision for your home. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How can people get it? Since you don't have a website, do you do social media, like Facebook and some of the main platforms?
Yes, we do, but we're really getting more into, well, we're looking to moving into that area. You know, on a regular basis.
But people get a hold of people?
Actually, on my card, I have a phone number, and basically it indicates that we're by appointment only. We do a one-on-one. Yes.
So that means that somebody not in the Delaware Valley couldn't access your services?
Well, it depends what it is that they need. I kind of pick and choose what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like I'm eliminating anybody. But if somebody sees my work, and they really, really want me to come in and do something exclusive, then, yeah, I tend to travel as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your material is unique. Mm-hmm. Is it truly one of a kind? In other words, say my wife just bought something, so there's a good chance that we'll never see something like that.
To be perfectly honest with you, the creativity in these hands, it really doesn't trend to, I don't have a set pattern or anything to lay it out and say, okay, I can do 50 of these.
Right.
No, that's not what
I'm
here
to. No, that's what I'm saying. For the most part, it is unique.
Exactly. It's just like the art, in a sense to say. You'll never see the same, exactly the same, true art coming from the continent.
Right.
In any event. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's on your short-term goals and then, like, long-term goals?
Well, to be honest, short-term goals, I'm getting ready to go to the Philippines, and I want to go and design jewelry.
Have you been there?
No, I have not. We're taking my mother there the latter part of January of next year. And I'm actually going there to see what kind of business I can pull out of the Philippines. And then hopefully in the next year or two, I'll be traveling over to Africa. And really a long-term goal for me in Africa would be to barter, and what I would like to do is teach them the elements of design and sewing, and in turn they can teach me the textiles of Africa. Exactly, so that I could come back here to the States and teach the textiles of Africa. That is a long-term goal. I've really reached a lot of goals in my life, but those are two goals that right now I'm working toward, that common goal.
Give us a phone number in case someone sees,
mm-hmm.
and I'm, well, there's no doubt in my mind when people see it, they'll want it, but just how they can get in contact.
I can be reached. Actually, I'm in the outside of Trenton. I'm in the Ewing Township area of New Jersey. We can be reached in area code 609. The direct number is 468-2750. The name of the business is exclusively Bucci, and I'm the proprietor, Carmen Scott.
Right. Give the business name again and the phone number.
We are exclusively Bucci. Our phone number, that's B-O-O-C-H-I. We can be reached in area code 609. Our telephone number is 468-2750. Well, I appreciate this interview.
No problem. We appreciate you. My wife is a big fan of you.
I know.
You know, interestingly, two times a year, at least one time, is something similar to this.
Yeah,
I think we saw you about a year ago.
Not with an Amazon.
No. I know she bought some pillows.
Yes. She's got pillows, clothing, shoes.
Yeah.
She has a host of my products. Yes.
Now this mirror. You did that too?
Oh, no. That's just an added piece that we use to show you what you look like.
Yeah, what are you working on here?
Actually, I was just accentuating some calorie shells with the table runner. I was just going to accentuate it in here, just to give it a little touch. And again, thank you.
Thank you. The angels, do you do these?
Yes, I do. I designed the angels and the door weaves. Actually, we've been doing, that product's been out for about 8 years now, and we shipped them all over the country.
Okay. Yes, but my wife had her eye on this one.
Oh, okay. She's going to love that butterfly.
Now, the bracelets and the
fingers. These are napkin rings, and these are real cultured pearls. Now, these were designed and these were produced in the Philippines, my mother's native country, by my sister Christina Johnson.
Okay. So it's a family thing.
Absolutely. Well, we're all out of the cowrie shell, so what we have readily available today would be the cultured pearls.
That's unique.
Thank you.
So, is this purely ornamental or is this cultural?
Actually, these are a solid fork and spoon set. And actually, it is functional. And what you do is you just oil baste them with vegetable oil. You let them sit for about a half an hour, rinse them off with some soap and water, and you can use them forever. Yep. And those are designed and manufactured in Kenya. Coming from Kenya.
Okay, thank you very much.
Why, thank you, sir. Have a blessed holiday.
We're speaking with Teresa Smith, Taz Designs, and she does exquisite.
How we doing exactly?
Not clothing. Unfortunately, she doesn't do a whole lot for men, but that's another story.
Well, the reason being, I did a men's line, the men didn't shop, so I had to cut it, but I do special orders for men.
Okay.
You can get exactly what you want.
So, what type of fabrics and mediums do you make?
Okay, I center everything around mug cloth. The majority of my pieces have mug cloth in it somewhere. And this piece in particular has leather on it.
Okay.
Trimmed in leather. It has the pants trimmed in leather. So I try to use all natural fibers, combining it like linens, wool, silks. And I'm doing a couple of stretches too. It's better for the women.
Now, one time you had a brick and mortar place, and since you're mainly on the internet, did you do commerce on the internet?
I'm on my out of my house right now. I never had a brick and mortar.
Did you have a boutique?
That was Aya.
Oh, okay.
I was
so you were like almost the exclusive designer for her then, right?
Not exactly, but we did well. Okay. We did well. But, I do out of my home. I do a little bit on Facebook, not a lot yet, but I'm getting ready to try to move up into more of that. And I did have a website, remember, but I had to rebuild my website, because I want to try to do more off of that.
What's your Facebook tag? I'm on it.
I don't remember. You just look up Teresa Smith, Philadelphia, Taz Designs. It might be Taz, but I'm not sure what it is. So you're talking about my
Taz. Well, how can people get a hold and see your catalog?
Okay.
Now, most of your things are unique. Yeah, so
a catalog is
a whole lot.
Right.
Right.
I do have some things on Facebook, but I give out my phone number, you call me, and I will send you some pictures, or have you just come over and see what I have.
Well, this is going up on the internet, so people all over can see it. You feel comfortable giving your phone number?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
215-474-2487. My specialty is coats, mud cloth swing. You know, this is when I first started, this is what I did, coats. And then I just moved on to garments after. And this is a three-quarter. I have a jacket, about three different lengths. And then I also do suits. See, this is something with a mud cloth trim. And I do mitch and match. And, there's different skirts that can be attached with the top. Different pieces. I do denim and everything.
So, you could also do special designs.
Oh, yeah. If someone has something in mind, what they want, they come to me, we sit down, we talk about it, design it together, and I make it for you. It's been a long run, and hopefully it gets longer.
Hey, I think I'll let you
because I started this in 92. I've been doing it since 92. Yeah. Hopefully I'll do it at least 10 more years. I don't want to do it 20. I'm too old for that. I want to retire.
Okay, but you're just hitting your stride.
Okay.
Creativity.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Your wife is in.
And we're at 2013. Buy black dollars, black marketplace, a special event. We're speaking with Brother Banyan, and he is a
craftsman.
He specializes in wood and what else?
I do a little acrylic, but mainly wood, and I have a new collection of mirrors that I came out with in the last few years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this? You've been doing this for a while,
about
right?
30 years now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a lot of your specialty, flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still my signature piece.
Okay.
People still come for them clocks.
Okay.
Yeah, out of everything, people still like my clocks, you know.
All right, so you're located where?
Camden, New Jersey.
Now, do you have a brick and mortar place?
I have a workshop. on Memorial Avenue, 800 Memorial Avenue, and that's where I do my woodwork.
How do you display your
Well, I do shows like this, which is the convention center, the black market. Also, in about a week, I have a website coming out again, woodcraftsbyobanion.com.
What's the name of it?
Woodcraftsbyobanion.com. And that craft has an S on it, woodcraft.
Now, will folks be able to e-commerce on there?
Yes, they will. They'll be able to purchase, order, go shop. Yes. That's my my little flyer right now, yeah. Yep.
So they'll be able to see all your wares. You have something special you're working on. These are unique, right?
Yeah, they're Vinkra symbols from West Africa. From
you won't see a lot of these.
I'm one of the major manufacturers of this kind of artwork. So I'm one of the few people that were still, you know, still doing something like that. Yeah. Yep. And they all relate to us as a people, our culture, and our history. And that's basically what work does. It keeps people in touch with Africa and the diaspora, black people from all around the world. I have something over here that's new that I want to see. Yeah, what's that? Dream of Africa. But I haven't put the mirror in it yet. It's this frame. And eventually this will have a mirror in it. And then I'm going to have carvings of symbols all the way around the frame. And that's going to
have symbols represent there.
A lot of the continents, right, in the mirror, right in the middle. Yep. Right now, I just got the frame out.
Like I said, a lot of people are familiar with your clocks, and they come in all sizes.
Yes, small, large, small, medium, and large.
So, range in your catalog, price range?
From $15 to about $125. Yeah.
I mean, excellent gifts, particularly for the conscious community, but if people want to look at exquisite handcrafted material, this is the man to see.
Thank you.
Give us the coming website again.
Woodcraftsbyobanion.com.
Is there a contact number?
Yes, 856-366-8230 or
856-366-8197. Now, what's on your agenda short term, other than the website, what's on your agenda short term?
Short term is to improve my process, my production capabilities. That's some of my short term goals. And
you want to go more mass type?
Yeah, I would like to reach more people and sell more product, you know. And so I'm trying to refine some of my ways that I do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how are you going to blend the time, effort, and the commitment that you put into these in a mass type operation?
Well, if I sell enough, I'll be able to train some people to do certain aspects of the work. So that right there would help out a lot. Basically, I make all this by myself. But I'm getting to the point where I'll be able to train some people maybe. And different aspects, I'll be able to show them how to cut this and how to do that. And some of the more intricate stuff I'll still do. But it'll get me ahead while they're doing certain things, I'll be doing other things. Yeah.
Okay. Anything you want people to see this, to know about?
Yeah. I'm a black man, black family. And when you support me, you're helping to support yourself. Because, you know, if I get big and I'm making money, that means I'm going to hire other black people and other black women. And so we're all going to be helping each other. And that's what we need. We need to be able to do for self.
That's what this venue is all about.
Yes.
The black artist exposure.
Right. And just as if you look around the room, in terms of a people, we make everything for ourselves. We make jewelry, we make clothing, we make ornaments for the house, crafts. There's nothing that a nation needs that black people don't already produce for themselves. The problem is getting black people to understand the necessity of buying from one another. Like at this time of the year, this place should be packed. And so many of our people right now are shopping in the mall. People that could care less about you except they want your dollar. And they're spending money with them. And, you know, the same people you can't live next door to.
People who really, like you said, don't take time, and the only reason they have any time for
Exactly. In fact, they caught on to segregation because they realized they wanted the money to be integrated. They wanted to integrate money, not people. And, you know, worldwide, yeah, public relations move. Now, how they were treating us in this country, right? The greatest, so-called greatest country in the world.
Yeah, because they wanted to take the world.
Yeah. Right. And since integration, they've destroyed our infrastructure, economic infrastructure. I mean, there used to be black banks. There used to be black businesses all around us. We shopped for one another to integrate. We seem to forget about our own capabilities of producing.
Not just that. I mean, in the late 80s and 90s, we were able to know that acquisitions and mergers.
Yes, yes.
They made a concerted effort to go after our most successful businesses.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
So a lot of things that maybe like the local communities that we
see. Oh, yeah. It's black-owned. Black it's no longer black-owned. It's a black face.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, it's somebody white that owns it. Yeah. No, definitely. And that's one of the things they've done in our community, especially the funeral industry. They've went in there heavy. And you know, that's something they know that's a guarantee. You're always going to need it. Yeah. But that was a great example because, you know, a lot of the new funeral homes now are in black neighborhoods, but they're owned by white people. Yeah. That's the latest move.
Yeah. Okay.
Phone number is 856-366-8197 or 856-366-8230.
Company is called Pata.
Hi, speaking with Joe Johnson, and they do art, they distribute art, primarily African American. That's your game?
That's my sister's game.
Now, how did you get involved in this?
I guess it probably sprang forth from my trip to Egypt in 1988 with Dr. Ben and Ashra Kwesi. So when I got back, I was just inspired. Yeah. So that, along with the fact that I knew that our people needed the history, and so I'm kind of doing it through pictures, spreading the people.
Procure your mission, keeping your mission going, which is to expose our people to our history.
All of my Egyptian prints come from, I'm also a, I don't consider myself a photographer, but I like to take pictures, so all of these prints are pictures that I took while in Egypt.
Oh, okay.
And I have a lot of reproductions also from other places in Africa. I've been to Ghana also, so I have some pictures from Ghana. And I'm also a retired teacher, so I like to teach the history while I'm showing the art. It kind of goes hand in hand.
So you were saying you don't have a brick and mortar place, you walk out of your home.
Right.
And you attend venues like this to
spread the history.
Spread the history and teach and spread. So you ever do your picture? You ever do any exhibits of your photography?
Not yet, I haven't, but that sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Now your family also has a game.
Yes.
Tell me about this game.
Well, my sister is Kathleen. She's also an educator.
Everybody in your family is.
Yeah. Right. Followed each other as far as that.
Okay. Y'all want to change? Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's created this game called Oceans. It's played in the style of the game Uno. It has action cards that cause you to miss a turn or skip a space, things like that. I forget exactly how you played Uno, but it's built in that style with the intent of teaching kids what the, pretty much based on the oceans, what the five oceans of the world are, facts about those oceans, which ones are the largest, the depth. She throws a little map in it, a little poetry, because it comes with a curriculum also that she has.
Now, is this available on the internet?
She does have a website.
Okay.
www.skywebsite.com.
All right. And is there anything else in addition to the game on the site?
I'm not sure what's on the site, actually. But
now, she's a naturopath?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she studied with Dr. White.
Okay.
So, she's out of that line of medical thinking. Well, they can call my cell phone number at 215-820-7908, or they can also call her at that number on the card you just picked up, that 610-734-0279. I have done that. I do slide presentations also.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Based on your
pretty much
travels. Yeah.
The slide presentations are pretty much just Egyptian history, the history of Kemet. So that's how that pretty much goes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're speaking with Zion. Got to, and they're doing some
excellent work. I
was encouraged to come over there and co-produce some of this event.
Trying to get
some stuff from me, and it's sold out.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, all of this fall under the umbrella of Proverbs Reggae Band, which is my band, and I have a reggae band that I play reggae music, live reggae music, and so we decided. I'm based in Maryland, right? I'm from St. Vincent originally, you know, and my wife Kim, she makes a lot of the stuff, most of what we have here.
She makes
whatever we carry, we always wanted to represent something positive, you know, and say something to the youth, to our youth, you know, that our people are great people. So that's why we try to really carry stuff like, you know, and also to bring about awareness about something that we can
you have to know.
You know, and know so that we are, you know, we have always been positive people. You know what I mean? We have always been powerful people, kings and queens. You know, so that's what we try to represent. You know? Well, with the product line that we carry, we try not to put it on the internet because we want to keep it unique. We don't want it to be like, yeah, and we want to keep it original and organic, you know, so when people come and see it, it's special. You know what I mean? And it means something to us, so it's going to mean something to them. So that's why we try to keep it like that. It's just this, because, you know, it's like I sell products for the band as well, which I don't have any right now. So that's where all of this idea derived from, to become, you know, a vendor as well, you know, because you're already selling the products for the band, so, you know, you market the band and you market your product as well, so that's what it's all about.
So. How much time do you spend with this to the band?
Well, tell you the truth, my wife spend more time with it because she does a lot of the creation, you know, and I would do like other things, put it into the band, and, you know, I'll do stuff with this too, you know, like when we get on the road, I do all the driving, I don't allow her to drive, you know, even if we're going to Atlanta or whatever.
How often are you on the road?
It varies. I mean, during summertime, I mean, it could be very regular. It could be very on a regular basis.
So you don't have your merchandise on the internet, but do you have a presence about your band?
Yeah, I do. ProverbsReggaeBand.com.
Reggae.com.
Yeah.
On the show, you have CDs and...
Well, I do have a CD, but right now I'm working on another one, so I haven't been focused on pushing that one a lot because all my focus right now is on this one that I'm coming with, and it's going to be very powerful.
Okay. Yeah. So where are you going to be performing in the next, say, couple of months?
Well, I've been trying so much to focus on the group that I haven't really been focusing on, like, performing live so much right now. Right now, at this moment. But when we're done with that now, then we're going to start doing something. I mean, I'm doing little things here and there, playing at a little university. There is one place in Alexandria, Virginia, that we do every Friday night. You know, so it's an Ethiopian lounge and restaurant. We are there every Friday night. So it's a good vibe. Yeah, to vibe with the people, you know, because a lot of people in the area who know us and love us always want to come to hear us. So it's a venue that people can come and hear you while we work on our craft. You know. Yeah, well, you can contact me from the website proverbsreggaeband.com, or you can check gigmasters.com/proverbsreggaeband, or you can just Google Proverbs Reggae Band, you know, and then, you know, you're going to find our contact information. Mm-hmm.
What's the price range in terms of just from low end to high end?
You can get. I think you can get items from maybe like from $10.
So we have items as low as $5.
Know that what you make.
Oh, what I make? Yeah, as low as $8.
As low as eight, all the way up to what? 670?
70 for a set. Similar to this.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to the goings on at the Buy Black Marketplace, the Recycle Black Dollars Marketplace that took place December 21st and 22nd. That was just a smidgen of the type of artists and the type of crafts people who participated. The reason we're sharing is hopefully around the country and around the world, people will take up the idea and make it a means to connect shoppers with the various artisans and craftspeople in their community. Of course, there were several other authors there. I wasn't able to interview them. It was really a good venue, downtown, easily accessible. The weather was decent on Saturday, a little rainy Sunday, but nonetheless, it was a good event. The energy was up. The vibe was very, very positive. And so we're sharing this in the hopes that people will think it's a good idea and perhaps replicate it where you are. With that, we'll close out. This is Junius Ricardo Stanton encouraging you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow.
Cyberspace is the place that no army with artillery invades.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates.
No denomination, faith dominates. And no court is going to try any